Good morning again and welcome. Welcome online if you're just now joining us. Cass Creek Baptist Church, ready to worship, ready to serve our Lord, ready to dive into His holy word.
Amen.
Mark 10, 13 through 16. Mark 10, 13 through 16. We will end at the Lord's table together, so everyone should have one of these nice, delicious, pre-filled cups in front of them in the pews. We can find that when the time comes. And I know the last couple of weeks we've covered divorce and sin, hell, and all these joyous topics. So we'll turn the page a little bit this morning. It's still a serious and important topic, but we'll talk about children. We'll talk about our dependence on Jesus. Anyone do a little golfing in here? Any golfers? I knew Carl. Nobody else. I wouldn't consider myself a golfer, but I do golf. It's been about 6 or 7 years since I played. The game itself is great on a number of levels. You're outdoors. I like that. You're surrounded by beautiful scenery. You're surrounded by good friends. And you can have a good time even if you are poor at golf.
Amen.
It's also a game that you play mostly against yourself. You do have opponents, and you're playing the course, but mostly it's between you and your own mind. You know what you can and cannot do. You know what shots you should and should not attempt. Oftentimes, your bad score reflects not your talent level, but your inability to make wise decisions in the moment.
Amen.
An example would be standing in a tee box on a par 3, and you're trying to hit a shot over water. When you hit your first shot in the lake, there's usually a box where you can drop to hit the second one, this side of the lake or the other side of the lake, if you made it and it bounced back into the water. You can move there and have a closer next shot, but oftentimes people just drop it right back in the tee box because they say, I can do this. And then 3, 4, 5, 6 balls later, they may change their mind. You find yourself shooting again there not because it's the best decision, but because your pride has been injured or you trust your own ability over your sound judgment and reasoning. I've seen people drop many balls in the water on these holes because they had too much faith and trust in their own abilities. This is what we'll look at today. Jesus says not to trust yourselves, but to lean into Him and be dependent on Him, much like children are dependent on those around them. We'll see it in two parts. Bring children to Jesus and come to Jesus like children. Mark 10, 13 through 16. Let's stand as we read God's word. And they were bringing children to Him that He might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant and said to them, Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And He took them in His arms and blessed them, laying His hands on them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this morning, and we thank You for Your holy word. Help our hearts and our minds to be open to receive Your instruction You have for us today. Help us to allow Your word set upon us and change us when we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So last week we did look at marriage and divorce. We saw that the Pharisees lost their role as teachers to the Son of God, and He taught that marriage was designed by God from the very beginning to be between a man and a woman and to be permanent. We said that divorce should never happen outside of the two exceptions that we looked at, and it should be as a last resort. We also said that believers in Jesus are forgiven of their sins, and we should turn from the past and look forward to what our future holds. This week we turn to what the people around Jesus were doing while he was teaching. They were bringing their children to Jesus. What were the crowds doing? They were bringing their children to Jesus. Now in Luke's account, these were infants. So they were likely very young children, but it still carries the same weight. A few weeks ago we looked at this when Jesus pointed to a child and said, "You must receive one of these to receive me." We said children represented the weak and the lower parts of society, and they could not stand for themselves. We must take care of the poor and the oppressed to be a follower of Jesus. What are the disciples doing? I'm sure they remember the words of their teacher and are accepting children with open arms and taking care of them, right? Let's see. "And the disciples rebuked them." They're turning them away. Not the shining example we'd hoped for, but probably the example we were expecting at this point. We've seen the disciples over and over again. I'm sure they were seeing the crowds everywhere they went at this point. This is what the scripture tells us. And they were tired from their journeys, and I'm sure that being swarmed by a bunch of parents with their kids was seen as more of a distraction than something that needed their attention. What was the response of Jesus? "But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God.'" First, we have this word indignant. Your translation may say something like displeased. The word literally means angry. Make no mistake, he is angry with his disciples. He has repeatedly spoke on his mission, which is to seek and save the lost, to bring hope to those who are oppressed, to spread his gospel message to all, regardless of background. These children fall directly into this category. Not only does he let them know that he is upset, but he also says, "This is who the kingdom belongs to." Can we think of a reason why this would not be what the disciples want to hear? Remember a few weeks ago, the disciples' argument on who is the greatest. They're looking among themselves. Who of us is the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus points to children. And now, not only does he say he must take care of these children, he says the kingdom belongs to them. Remember the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." This is the same concept here. Those who are in need of help and defense, just like children, come to Jesus for this help, and their inheritance is heaven. So much for the disciples and their fight for status in the kingdom of God. They were actually turning themselves away from Jesus and his mission when they turn away these children. We're not saying that the disciples are not followers of Christ. We are saying that they're still working things out just like we are. The important thing to see here in our first section is the continuing focus on children and the kingdom of God. They are its future. And you must receive them. You must bring your children to God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Then you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." Teach your children the ways of God. Walk in these ways in everything you do. Bring your children to God in everything you do. Why do we gather to worship? The Bible says to. Good answer. What is its purpose? to bring glory to God, to bring your prayers before Him, to sing His praises, to sit together as God's people and to be saturated by His holy word. This is why we are here. Hopefully, you are online to take in some part of this miracle that is the gathered church, and you're making plans to return as quickly as possible.
Amen.
We are aware of the time we are living in. The virus is still rearing its ugly head, and people are still getting sick, and the experts flip-flop on all things concerning the virus, and the media has many of us worried, and many feel like they are trapped inside their own homes. The church is gathering in person with precautions in place and is gathering online for those who cannot attend. Our church has limited activities. There's shut things down like classes and children's church and anything else that puts people in confined spaces in which they feel uncomfortable. Things that put people already at risk, at greater risk. Eliminating these confined space activities also eliminates contact, which by the definition of the CDC is within 6 feet for longer than 15 minutes. We will look to resume many of these activities as quickly as possible. And if you're out there looking for a church home, you can make plans to come join us and we will build this thing back together. We have an opportunity to hit the reset on things we have always done and maybe even start something new. One thing that may not come back is this idea of children's church. Something for the children under school age may be necessary, but beyond that, I think we put too much effort into removing our kids from worship service. Jesus in our text says, "Let the children come to me." And in turn, we do this with songs and videos and activities. These are great things, but I think something very important is missed when we send our children away from the worship service. They miss the opportunity to see Daddy pray to God. They miss the opportunity to see Mommy sing praises to Jesus. They miss the opportunity to worship as a family. This is how I think we should be bringing our kids to Jesus. This isn't easy and requires patience on the part of the parents and discipline. But the result is spending the most important hour of your week as a family. They will make noises, and they will move around, and they will struggle to pay attention, and that's okay. The result of this will be that they worship Jesus with Mommy and Daddy. They worship with their family, and they hear the gospel preached every week. This is how, as parents, you bring your children to Jesus. Then you continue throughout the week inside your home. Let's make Jesus more than a children's song to our kids. Amen. Let them come to Jesus. Next, Jesus says everyone else should come like children. Come to Jesus like children. What does it mean when he says you must receive the kingdom of God like a child in order to enter it? It is not because they are sweet and innocent. They are sinners just like us. All have fallen short and all have sinned. All enter this world with a fallen and sinful heart. It is not because they are somehow more obedient. Anyone who has raised a child knows that this is not the case. What is Jesus pointing to? Let's break it down. First, we've got this act of receiving here. It doesn't say you must go get the kingdom of God like a child. It does not say go and earn the kingdom. It says receive it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Paul tells us that being saved to the kingdom is done through faith, and faith is a gift received from God and not earned. So to enter the kingdom of God, you need a gift that you cannot earn. cannot obtain on your own. Well, Paul says in Romans that we receive this faith through the gospel being preached. All those who hear the gospel and have repented of their sins and have placed their faith in Christ have received this gift. It is important to point out that this gift does not come with a gift received, meaning it cannot be returned. It cannot be lost. John 6:39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is good news. We receive a salvation that we could never earn, and this salvation cannot be lost. There is a catch, however. How do we know if this is true faith and repentance or just something we claim? Our text says, receiving must be done like a child. What does this mean? Well, how does a newborn receive food when their parents feed them? How does a newborn find comfort in their parents' arms? They are fully dependent on you. They receive everything they need from you. They have put their trust completely in you. This is what Jesus is talking about. He says, look at these children. Look at these little ones that you try to keep from me. Just like they are fully dependent on those around them for everything they need, so must you be to enter the kingdom. You must be fully dependent on me. You must fully trust me. This is the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Last week he said we needed to come to Jesus for forgiveness for the things in our marriages. 2 weeks ago, he said we needed to cut the things out of our life that keep us from fully coming to Jesus. This week, Jesus says that this is only possible if you come fully committed and fully dependent, just like a child. It's like this. Let's say you're up on a mountain. You're a mile up in the air on the edge of a cliff. Now, to your left, you've got a platform that was put there by a world-renowned engineer. He builds towers and buildings and platforms and designs them, builds them for a living, and he's never had one fail, ever. This is your choice to the left. To the right is another platform, and it was built by me. You've already chosen mine, right? I can use a hammer and a saw and a drill, but that's about it. You have to step out on one of these platforms a mile up on the edge of a cliff. Which one do you choose? It's mine, no doubt. No, there is an obvious choice. It is the same here in our section today. Jesus points to children and says, you must come like they do. Come fully committed and dependent on me. This is an easy choice. Jesus is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the very Word of God. He has always existed. Amen. He became flesh to pay the ransom for our sins that we could not pay ourselves. He bore these sins on the cross in agony and indescribable pain. He then defeated death to reveal himself as God and to proclaim this payment complete. So when this man says, trust me and depend on me, this is the easiest choice you will ever make. The other choice is to depend on yourself. To depend on your own control and your own authority and your own power. The Bible says that this is not a wise choice. Amen. This is like choosing the wrong platform, and you will not like the result. Jesus says there is only one way through the Father, and it is through Him. Yeah. But you must come fully dependent. What we should ask ourselves is this: have we made this commitment? Do we come fully surrendering to the Son of God, or are we holding something back? Are we standing before the Creator of the universe and holding on to something for ourselves? Salvation is for everyone who believes. But this belief has to be a life-changing submission to the things of God. Anything less than that is like an infant not eating because they know what is best. What do you hold back? As we move towards the Lord's table this morning, we can look at our section today and see the main point. We must bring our children to Jesus at all times and in all ways. This includes church services. The power of God is revealed in the preaching of the Word of God, and taking part in this as a family is a real opportunity to move as a family closer to Christ. We have seen that we must come to Jesus to be willing to fully give our lives to Him, much like a baby to its parents. Do not hold part of yourself back from the Creator of the universe and the Savior of your soul. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, but not being fully committed may mean that you not yet truly believed. What holds us back? Now we turn our attention to the Lord's table. This taking of the bread and the cup symbolizes the life of Jesus and the blood that He shed for us. Come to this table in the same way our text spoke of today, fully dependent on the Son of God. Now we'll do this a bit differently, as we're not passing around the plates. Everyone should have a pre-filled cup in front of you. And there's a wafer included. So there's a tab on the side of these, and the plastic film comes off separate and reveals the wafer, and then the whole tab comes off to open the juice. Go ahead and start working on these as I'm speaking. Someone around you can assist if you need help. There's probably a deacon close by. We know the Bible says that partaking in the cup and the bread in an unworthy manner should not be done. So if you're not a baptized believer in Christ, or if you have some ongoing sin issue in your life that you're currently dealing with, then we just simply ask that you do not take with us at this time. There's no judgment from us, and only you can make this decision. Did everybody get into their bread? I don't see any panic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day, and we thank you for so many things in our life. And Father, we come to you now as sinners, saved by the Son of God. And we come to this table, and we know it represents what Jesus Christ has done for us. And help us to remember that this bread symbolizes His body broken for us, so that we all could return to you. Help us remember this as we go throughout our day and weeks to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take and eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, and we thank you for these reminders in our life, this holy word, our testimonies, and the things, the gifts you've given us, such as the Lord's table. And Father, as we remember the bread and we have taken it and eaten it, help us to remember the juice as well. The blood of Christ spilt for us. This is what it symbolizes. Father, we know that no one could pay the cost but the perfect Lamb of God.
And this is who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was for us all. And we thank you for this. And help us remember this in these moments and throughout our life as we walk around and spread your gospel message. Jesus Christ died for us. He shed his blood for us so that we may come to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul continues. He says, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Take a drink. As we close now with a song, please think about what the sacrifice of Jesus truly meant and what he has called us to do. We should celebrate the Lord's table. It is meant for us to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, but to also remember that you have been saved by this sacrifice. We have been called to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. And to be the hands and feet of Jesus, carrying the gospel everywhere we go, we must be fully submitted to him. If you need to talk about your faith or have any other prayer concerns on your heart, you can come during this time as we sing. Are you dependent on Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We know even in the midst of the suffering in our lives and those around us, we have hope. We do have a hope and a joy that cannot be taken away, and it is your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you so much that he came to this earth and did what we could not do. And Father, we think that our repentance of our sins and our faith in him means that we are saved and we have an eternity in heaven. But Father, we also know that we are called to be fully dependent on him. Father, we know what he has done for us. We just celebrated it at your table this morning. Help us live our lives like we realize the sacrifice that was made. And it wasn't made just for us. Help us take this gospel message with us so that everyone can hear your holy word. Be saved by your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.